When I was young, my parents and I were walking down Hollywood Boulevard on a holiday adventure. My interest in art was piqued at a young age, but it reached an overflowing interest when I saw a street artist. A street artist who could make you look like a cartoon character from the Rugrats or Recess in a matter of minutes. Whatever the cost, my parents reached into their pockets and paid for me to have a caricature drawn that would now live in the hallway of our house. If you walk into my parents' house, as you slip your shoes off and make your way up the stairs to be greeted by Castor the dog and smells of curried goat, you will see a cartoon drawing of me at about 7 years old. Big head, small ears, large lips, and protruding front teeth. For a time there, I felt uncomfortable and uneasy about that caricature. You may laugh, cry, be amused, or offended by what you see. God knows I did. God knows I did all of those. You see, caricatures are exaggerations of details that we know and believe are true. It's the beauty of human communication coming out in art, because even if we don't mention it, we convey through caricatures and stereotypes that we really do see it. The little scar, the freckles, and the blemishes that you think hide away from the naked eye are blown up large when you have a caricature. If what you're standing in is a fragile foundation, you may find offense to caricatures. If your foundation in the portrayed image is firm, you will learn to look deeper into what the artist sees, into what the world zooms in on and finds unique about you, into your anomalous features. In constructing caricatures of our men, we've seen what they wear, how they speak, how they act, oversimplified. For our amusement, we have seen movies, we have read poetry, and we have ogled at depictions of our men. These caricatures are great for us, who have somewhat of a firm understanding of what being a man is. But for those of us who are too young to understand, who do not yet have a grasp of masculinity, our own identity, or the diverse world around us, may feel pressured by these depictions. So let's be amused. Let's dive into our anomalous features, take a step into the uncomfortable and the details that you might fear, to learn more about how New Zealand sees men.
Fucking floored to somebody.
In creating the perfect Kiwi man, we're going to need a few things before we get started. And when I was younger, I learned a lot about masculinity through the women in my life. How they spoke, how they interacted, and loved the men close to me. Not just my pops and my uncles, but my friends from school, our neighbors, working men, the lot. Now I know this sounds strange, because I should technically learn what being a man is from men, right? But men don't really talk about being manly. They either are or they aren't. So growing up, I looked at the dudes in movies, TV shows, and the news. Now, of course, growing up near soul music and black television, pieces of me wanted to be Luther Vandross, Kanye West, T-Pain. And while some of those icons have faded in my life, they are what I built my idea of cool dudes on. Now, unfortunately, I can't turn back time. But instead, you and me, we're gonna raise our own child. You and me together, like we always wanted to. Remember those summers in Gisborne, where we said we would raise our own together? How you said you'd take the kid up to your parents and I could take time off work to help raise them? I said I'd quit the podcast and... Meet Oliver. He's going to grow up with us along this journey, and while he's growing up, he's going to be exposed to the top 10 most influential and talked about men in Kiwi history. Because just like me, Oliver didn't get to learn about men from men in his life until later on. He's gonna turn the TV on and hear these guys, volume 100, color television. He's gonna scroll Instagram and TikTok and see their names as the trending hashtags and topics. But that's all he's gonna take in. He's not gonna be able to talk to these guys. He's not gonna be able to see them. Sheesh, they may even pass on before he becomes a man himself. Now, just because they're influential doesn't mean they're tasteful.
Also the dipshit woman. God, what's her name? Dick shit.
Now we start this list off with probably one of your favorites.
That's the most brilliant quartet of ties you'd ever wish to see, Jonah Lomu.
That's right, this man adds an entire new dimension for the representation of the Kiwi bloke, the first true superstar of the rugby world, and put New Zealand on the map in a new way. Jonah was large, fierce, took no shit, described as a freight train in ballet shoes, shrugging off tackles left and right, playing on the wing, standing 6'5" at 120 kgs. I mean, like, who didn't want to be this man? And even though for most of the country, his memorable moments happened while wearing a black jersey, Jonah bridged the gap for many New Zealanders who were yet to acknowledge Pacific Islanders who immigrated in the 60s and 70s as Kiwis. Silently, Jonah the Giant made that an easier pill to swallow for our xenophobic family members. Now coming in at number 9, we have a duo.
This is Jonah and Bennett.
Now I know they're no Tabby and Kai, but let's give them a shot and let's let them share a spot. From a satirical TV show to presenting the hits on Breakfast TV, Jono and Ben had been the faces of radio television in New Zealand for the past decade. When watching them, you can find their humor funny or immature or maybe even childish. And on a positive level, that's what they represent. The inner child in all of the Kiwi men. The one who loves a good laugh at someone else's expense or the prank on the missus. And that's what Oliver is going to realize when he turns on the TV or turns on the radio in the car. He's going to listen to Jono and Ben and find a little bit of solace and a little bit of connection with two grown men also living out his childhood fantasies. At number 8.
Ko iwi o te rangatira o ngā puhiara o Hone Heke, tanumia ai ki pūtahi te tai tokerau.
We've got Heke Pokai, better known as Hone Heke. And he's going to be our oldest ballot here for the top 10, coming all the way from 1807 in Pakaraka. Being one of the first rangatira to sign Titiriti o Waitangi is his second most popular tag. The first being he chopped down the flagstaff that flew the Union Jack. Twice. Governor Hobson had the United Tribes flag removed from the flagstaff and flew the British flag there. Hone Heke saw this as a rejection of the equal status of Māori with the government for the treaty he also just signed. So he chopped down the flagpole on January 10th and January 18th of 1845. It's not only standing up for your land and what you believe in that Hone Heke represents, but there's a sense of cheekiness as well. Whether you can get your idea across via brute force or pettiness, this was much more than passive aggressiveness. Now I know that might have been a blast from the past, but let's go to a little bit more of a present day one. Coming in at number 7.
Academy Award-winning writer, actor, and director you know from What We Do in the Shadows, Taika Waititi.
Creative genius, indigenous genius, wonky and wacky, but can tell a story. All of these have been used to describe Taika Waititi. And no doubt, the Kiwi men in your life have told you a corny joke you've heard over 100 times before. It's probably as funny as if it was from a newspaper, but they can tell a story. They remember the characters and paint them vividly, no matter how many expletives they may use. And Taika speaks his mind, whether the crowd likes it or not. The fearless Kiwi man who isn't afraid to say or create, just gets on and does it. Taika represents a lot of the creatives that we have in this country. Not only the creatives that can draw things on a piece of paper, but can also use their creative outlets through mechanics, engineering, or putting up a fence. Coming in at number 6.
Please welcome the musical comedy of Flight of the Conchords, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, if you lived as a teenager in the time of the 2000s or the late 2010s, you know how much the dude at your school that played guitar wanted to be either Brett or Jermaine. Dry, perfectly timed, slapstick humor. But what element do they both ooze that screams Kiwi masculinity? What element is Oliver going to take away from watching them on TV or YouTube? Nonchalance. Blasé. Even though you can tell they are professionals and they do this shit for a living, they act like they're winging it. They really bring this, I don't really care, to the stage. And that right there is not only what makes it even more hilarious, but it makes it more a bit of us. The unpreparedness. The slap it on and we'll just see how we go. Coming in at number 5.
Dan Carter, a great man himself. Really determined.
Alright, I don't care what you say. This guy was a sex icon. You couldn't go to school or you couldn't go to someone's mom's house without some piece of Dan Carter being in a calendar or on the fridge or...
Don't be intimidated, Squidward. Try to imagine him in his underwear. Oh no, he's hot!
But I think Dan Carter single-handedly made it alright for straight men to style their hair and not get called a homophobic slur. At the time, the All Blacks were undefeated and undefeatable, Dan Carter was an integral part to that team. Not only was he the game's best kicker at the time, when he put on that black jersey, everything was valued at high. His jerseys, his shorts, his socks, even his underwear was sold on Trade Me. And if any other player sold themselves for the Chemist Warehouse brand, we'd be up in arms. But Dan, do what you want, man. Get your bag. In all seriousness, though, name another New Zealand man that was made a sex icon, was actually someone that people outright crushed on and didn't just hate. I know he was an All Black, but hear me out. Dan Carter had a hold on the whole country for a minute there. And I think that this is something that a lot of men aspire to be. Coming in at number 4.
Doesn't give my opponents much time to run up to an election, does it?
Yeah, I can already hear the moans and groans, but you gotta hear me out for a second. The sports over politics bloke. The blind confidence of this man saw him call a snap election whilst drunk in his office. And if that's not a perfect depiction of the Kiwi man, I don't know what is. Infamously named the Schnapps election, which he did go on to lose, he lost his whole government. A government that was seen on actually making New Zealand a power of their own. Cutting the umbilical cord from Britain was one of Robert Muldoon's biggest objectives. Whether he hit it or not is up for debate. But you know what he called his government? Government of the ordinary bloke. We're not going to get into too much politics, but Robert Muldoon really represented the ordinary bloke at the time. Robert Muldoon was staunch. He was fierce in his words, and he didn't really move on much. I know that most men are going to take this sports over politics bit, but you also got to understand that Robert Muldoon wanted, more than anything else, for New Zealand to be its own thing. For New Zealand to be self-sustainable and self-sustaining. He put a price on our innovation. He influenced us to think big with bigger projects, entrepreneurship. And even though it didn't quite come off, Muldoon was optimistic. A drunk optimism that we can see in everyday Kiwi men. Now, I'm not saying that this is something that we should pass on to our dear Oliver, but let's keep going through the list. Breaking into the top 3.
Everest conquered, the New Zealander Edmund Hillary.
Now for me, I'm 25. I don't really know that much about Sir Edmund Hillary, and I doubt that you do either if you're under the age of 60. But he was named in the top 100 most influential people of the 20th century. It's only right we include the Mountaineer. For a different generation of people, Sir Edmund Hillary was the only thing they knew about New Zealand. This was all before the Lord of the Rings and the All Blacks. Sir Edmund Hillary was the first to reach the summit of Mount Everest and the first person to reach both the North and South Pole. The explorer perk, the go out and get it done, rain or shine, outdoors, good with his hands, and quick with his mind, Sir Edmund Hillary really painted what we believe all Kiwi blokes should be about. Coming in hot at number 2.
Watch Richie McCaw here. Look at this. He gets thrown back, but look, he's got the ball somehow.
Captain Fantastic. The get it done. Rough around the edges. Maybe cheats the rules a bit, but I mean, who doesn't? Same haircut all throughout. No sense of style. Never stylish, because that would be showing off. And oh boy, do we hate showing off in rugby. Richie McCaw resembled the humble hero. Before, during, and after the game. And we can't talk about him without acknowledging his commitment to the crown. Richie attends weddings and coronations at Buckingham Palace, wearing his medals that he receives from the crown. But understand that that represents what we love about the Kiwi bloke as well. Humble. But still a servant. Now, whether that be to the crown or Aotearoa, well, we'll leave that for Oliver to decide. And before we get to number 1, we really do have to give out some honorable mentions. Let's see what you pick up from these guys that influence our young boys today, like Stephen Adams.
Stephen Adams literally lifting up Tony Bradley, who is not a small guy. He literally just lifted him up and carried him away from Ja Morant.
Tony Bradley is 6'7", 220, and Adams just hoist him.
And Sonny Bill Williams.
He's a professional boxer, you know, and he's got massive guns on him as Sonny Bill, and when he hits you, you stay hit.
What about on the other side, like John Key and Winston Peters? Maybe even in the middle, like Mike King or John Kerwin? What characteristics do you think those men teach our young boys and teenagers? Because for me, when I was a teenager,
pushing the later years of 17 and 18, I wanted to be like my dad and my uncles. Why? Because for the first time ever, my dad asked me to help put the fence up, bait up when we went fishing, and carry the chili bin. When he asked me to do something, I could feel his acknowledgement that I was enough, a nod to say, "You're ready. I think you're strong enough. I think you can handle it." And from those moments, the gradual shift started. I didn't have to ask to leave the house anymore. I spoke to women with confidence and lifted my chest when I entered uncomfortable situations. There was a pride in me I still can't explain. But from there, I knew I was closer to the understanding of what it truly meant to be a man. If masculinity was a scale, I had just weighed myself and was ready to throw my weight around side to side like Jonah Lomu on the rugby field. But where I lost myself was when I thought that was all the growing that I had to do. You see, this series is about creating loving men so we can heal and solve the issues we are a part of. And what are those issues? How much more growing do we have to do? Will Oliver be a loving man after learning about those top 10 Kiwi men? And who's number one? Well, I guess you'll have to join me next week, or join the Patreon where the episode's out already. Either way, thanks for listening. It's been Kai.com from Unpack. I'll see you next week.
Fucking Floyd is somebody.